You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Another weekday, another Locked On Syracuse podcast for you guys. Kind of transitioning out of July 4th weekend. We're into Thursday now. Been doing a lot of the podcasts during the day this week, so hopefully you guys have been keeping up with us. We are dropping them each and every weekday, so subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the show on Twitter, as always. If you haven't already, our username over on Twitter is at @LO_Syracuse. Tim Leonard and Tyler Rocky, we got a couple things on the agenda today. One has been kind of a hot-button topic lately, Jim Boeheim and his vacated wins. We'll recap our stance on that, which I think, Ty, we're probably in agreement that give the guy his wins back, but we'll get into the details of maybe what is going to go on as it pertains to that from the name, image, likeness decision that started at the beginning of the month. And then also, Garrett Williams has cracked a first-round NFL mock draft for 2022. The NFL Draft Bible put him as the number 29 pick. So we'll
it's
get into
never
that
too
and what
early
it could mean.
For NFL mocks.
I love
like
it.
I'm surprised we haven't seen Garrett Williams in a mock from like April.
Right. And he probably was. Maybe we missed it or whatnot. But we always knew he was probably the most likely guy to be an NFL pick from Syracuse. But we'll get into our reactions to seeing him number 29 and what that could mean for him and for Syracuse. And really just Syracuse as a DBU type of school right now, because that's what it's transitioning into a little bit in the past couple NFL drafts. But let's start with the Jim Boeheim news. The stuff that comes out recently is Terrence Roberts went and talked to a couple people from Syracuse.com. There was an article on Syracuse.com in the Post Standard, and Terrence Roberts, of course, was one of the players that was tied to the YMCA summer camps, took a little bit of money from that. That, I think, removed 60 of the 101 wins is what it broke down to, because Roberts and Billy Edelin accepted money and they played in about 60 games over the course of those couple of seasons there. So 60 wins from Jim Boeheim that were vacated are tied to these YMCA summer camps that, as we know now, obviously, a player could go hold a YMCA summer camp and that would not be illegal. So it was already kind of crap that he got the 60 wins taken away, because according to Terrence Roberts, he did everything right and made sure that it was not illegal going into the camp. But we both agree, like, they should get these wins back for Jim Boeheim, right?
They should get the 60 back, yes.
Yeah.
The other 41 they should not get back, because those are tied to what happened with Fab Mello. And whatever happened with Fab Mello, it was the academic assistance stuff. There were Syracuse basketball personnel helping him out with his classes, and his grades were called into question. That stuff still is illegal. You cannot have, it's like the equivalent of the UNC paper classes. And I'm not saying that it's an apples to apples comparison, but I'm talking about in terms of the crime and whether or not Carolina should get some of those wins back or whatever. That stuff is still illegal under the current umbrella of the NCAA, and rightfully so. It should still be illegal under the current umbrella of the NCAA. So to that I say, you should be getting the 60 back, but all 41 of those wins that were under the Fab Mello umbrella, those still should be vacated, because that is still a quote-unquote crime by the eyes of the NCAA, and probably forever will be a crime. Like, if we were to compare it to the American justice system here, and I'm not saying the NCAA is dealing with nearly the types of crimes that they are, but if you think about it, we are seeing people get released from jail for small drug crimes, right? Because we've seen states legalize drugs like marijuana. But at the end of the day, murder's still murder. You're not getting out of jail for that. And that's what I think you're looking at here. At the end of the day, academic assistance is still illegal. But all of the stuff with the YMCA and the paying of the players, that stuff is starting to become legal under the NCAA umbrella.
Yeah, so I saw someone, Jay Billis, tweeted something on July 1st about this, and I believe it was a Syracuse fan tweeted back at him and said, "What about Boeheim's 101 wins?" And I'll read Billis' response in the tweet. He said, "Yes, I think he should, basically yes, like he should get him back, although that was primarily over a BS academic issue. There was a small money issue too, but I agree with you generally." So I think he's kind of in agreement with you, like those 60 wins, definitely would be legal now. It is sort of a dangerous precedent, I feel like, for the NCAA to go back and just say everyone gets those wins back, because there's a lot of Jim Boeheim stories out there. I know Reggie Bush and the Heisman has been a hot topic recently, right, but you can go on and on down the list of several wins that have been vacated at several schools, big, small, and whatever. And it just feels like if they're going to give it to Jim, like, I don't know if it ever happens. It should happen, but it feels like it's going to take a while, right, for them to get through all of these different vacated wins. And I don't really know how they go about this.
Well, it's not like there's some sort of timetable on it, right? They don't have to give back the wins tomorrow or by the end of 2021 or by the end of 2030. There's no timetable. They can give these wins back in 2050 if they want to. It's one of those things where, sure, you'd like to know in the moment, maybe, like, does Jim Boeheim want to end up as the winningest coach in college basketball history? Now, if you restored the 60, which I think should be restored, the other 41, leave him on the outside looking in, but that would still put him at 128 wins behind Coach K. And I'd imagine this year Duke will probably win a few more games than Syracuse. So let's say, for argument's sake, that number is going to be about 132 or so, give or take three or four wins either way. But that's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, he would have to coach probably, what, another six more years? Six really strong years? And I just don't know if that's in the cards after.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he... It'd be really cool if he made it just to that number and stopped. And
right,
6 years isn't out of the question, but it does feel like a lot to get to Coach K's mark. And that now, is assuming 41, they give him back the wins.
Which I don't think the 41 are coming back. But if you were to add the 41, then things would maybe get a little bit interesting, because then you're talking about 3-4 years, and that would put him at right around 80 years old, and that's something that you and I joke about. Oh, he could coach till he's 80. He might coach till he's 80. Then you start to get into the nitty-gritty of it, but I don't think those 41 are coming back.
All right, continuing the Jim Boeheim vacated wins discussion in just a little bit, but first I want to remind you about betonline.ag. That's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season in full swing right now, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's by using our promo code LOCKEDON. All one word, LOCKEDON, the name of this podcast network. It is Locked On, the promo code for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag. So the quote from Terrence Roberts was, Jim Boeheim has worked too long and too hard to have his and our win stripped on a technicality, which I think it's really cool that Terrence Roberts came out and sort of spoke out about this, and I'm sure it's something that bothers him individually because he feels like he was wrongfully accused, but also he's saying it a lot in terms of support of Jim Boeheim, which is cool from a former player. You brought up how the timetable, they don't have to do it at any certain point. This might be kind of an odd take on this, but he's at 982 wins right now, so in all likelihood, he's going to break it some point in the ACC season this upcoming year. I mean, all he needs is 18 to get to 1,000, not break Coach K, but get to 1,000
right,
for the second time, as we know. And I weirdly don't want... I want him to get to 1,000 and us to be at a game when he's at 1,000 officially, and then maybe they can tack on the wins.
Like, but wasn't that the Virginia game?
It was, yeah, but I don't know. It wasn't,
everyone,
like, celebrated nationally.
I think that's the most kind of getting away from the pasture that he's gone from saying that. He's like, I know how many games I've won, I believe was the exact quote
Virginia
that he said.
Virginia was cool, don't get me wrong. I mean, I was at the game. There was a standing ovation, and he knew why people were cheering more, and it was definitely a thing. But nationally, like, I don't know if SportsCenter picked that up and said Jim Boeheim 1,000 wins, or there just wasn't as much buzz going into the game because you couldn't tell, like, Syracuse Athletics couldn't technically hype it up on tickets and stuff because it wasn't technically 100 or 1,000 wins.
Right. I just feel like people knew it was 1,000 then. And okay, it'll be funny when he wins 1,000% or 1,000 games for the second time. Right.
Yeah, it will be.
It will be. And who knows? We might not even see that win because let's say the NCAA does it this summer and gives back the 60. Well, then he's over the...
I don't see that happening. Do you? Like, I don't either. I just don't think it's... Yeah.
I think it's going to be a more drawn-out process.
I want it to happen. Yeah.
But, hey, I mean, you took away the wins in a heartbeat. You can probably give them back in a heartbeat, too. The Heisman stuff with Reggie Bush, all that stuff, all that can be done pretty quickly. So, I'm with you, though. Like, I would probably rather them wait it out. And okay, let's get to the summer of 2022 because unless something goes drastically wrong this season, like this roster is good enough to win, what is it, the 18 games that they need to win?
Yeah.
So,
right.
I see 1,000 part two coming this year.
Yeah. And that's going to be cool. And hopefully it's, I mean, the Virginia game would have been, it was already really cool. Don't get me wrong. But hopefully it's that type of game. Big time team in town. Lines up for it.
What if it is Virginia and, you know, again? Wouldn't that be hilarious?
That'd be kind of funny.
And
yeah.
They win in dramatic fashion because then Jim Boeheim's got two nut kickings on Virginia. He'll have three. He'll have beat them in the tournament that one game. He'll have the 1,000th win part one and then the 1,000th win part two.
Yeah. Do you think he cares about getting Coach K's record? Like, do you think that's even in his head remotely when he's thinking about a timetable of him and how much longer he's going to coach?
I don't know if it's in his... I think he wants the record. Yeah, I definitely think he does. But
who
I think
wouldn't,
he's,
right? Yeah.
Right. I think he also realizes that he is not going to reach... Like, he's realistic, right? He knows he's not going to reach that goal without getting some of these wins back. But I will say this. I think he might be a guy who takes a lot of pride in, okay, in my mind, I know how many games I've won, right? I know how many losses I've handed out because remember, those losses don't go away on other people's records. So anytime that he beat Pitt that and a win got vacated, that's only vacated in the win column for Syracuse. It's not vacated in the loss column for Pitt. So
right.
I think he wants the hypothetical record.
Yeah. I think that would mean something to him, and it should. I mean,
yes,
he should get
should.
Like, if he didn't have, if you had 101 wins to him right now, it is a real thing that he's probably going to catch Coach K by, like you said, by the time he's 80 or something. And then I think if he was, let's say, 15 wins away from catching Coach K, as we know, is going to be done, and Boeheim is thinking about, oh, should I do one more year or not? Then I think it's a thing that he
right.
says, oh, I only need 16. And because that record, I mean, I don't think there's going to be many coaches that are coaching as long as Jim Boeheim at that consistent of a level. Like, he might have that record when our grandkids are running around
right.
if he breaks Coach
K. I mean, God willing, he's still able to coach when he's 80. And if you do add the 101, that would put him at 87 behind Coach K heading into this season. Again, I think the margin between the number of wins Syracuse gets and the number of wins Duke gets probably in the neighborhood of 3-6, right? So K is probably going to be at about 90 to 93 wins ahead of Boeheim. Who knows? Maybe it's less. Maybe Boeheim gained some ground on him this year. Again, anything can happen, right? Maybe there's a lot of pressure on these Duke kids heading into the season that we've got to perform well for Coach K and they all kind of crack under the pressure. Anything can happen, right? But let's be realistic. It'll be about 90. I can see him catching that 90 because that's going to take four or so seasons. If you factor in NCAA tournaments and ACC tournaments, who knows? Maybe if you have some really strong teams and these recruiting classes are really good and can contribute right away, maybe those 22, 23 win seasons now turn into 28 to 30 win seasons. I don't know if we're going to see a 30 win team, but hey, it could happen. If you make a deep run in the NCAA tournament, that's adding 3, 4, 5 wins. Quick break to tell you about the best protein bar on the market. You know it. It is Built Bar. And guess what? Right now, they've got a limited time flavor. That's right. You got to get in on it this week only. It is the Built Grasshopper Cookie flavor. And this one is just like your classic thin mint cookie, but packed into a Built Bar. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 5 grams of sugar. There are so many great flavors of Built Bar out there, but this one in particular, you got to get it on now because it's only available from July 6th through 9th. So get in, maybe pack it into a mix box as well. There are a number of fantastic Built Bar flavors. My favorite, of course, is the peanut butter brownie. You've heard me talk about that Built Bar on the show all the time. Use Built Bar to train like the pros because Built Bar is now the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's Locked On for 15% off at built.com.
All right, so shifting gears now to football a little bit because an NFL mock draft is out. Garrett Williams, like we said at the top, is the number 29 pick in this 2022 mock draft from the Draft Bible, which is tied to SI.com. They have him going to the Rams. I'll read the quick little blurb here about Garrett Williams. It says, "The Orange lost three talented defensive backs to the NFL, but the best of the bunch is returning next year. Williams is eerily similar to Jair Alexander, who is one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. His instincts and man coverage skills are exceptional, and Williams also contributes as a run defender. The ball skills are there with him, too, and in the ACC next season, he should be able to show his shutdown coverage ability against some of the best wideouts in the nation." And it goes on to talk about how the Rams have had success at this position, yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, I was pretty surprised that he was that high. I think we both think this is probably Garrett Williams' last year, and he's got a great opportunity to be a very solid NFL cornerback, but first-round pick would be awesome because I know Cisco was popping up around first-round around this time last year. Then he got injured, and that was unfortunate. If he made a rise to get to kind of the second, third-round fringe talk with most of the mock drafts, and then obviously actually was taken a little bit behind Andre Cisco, surprisingly. But still, I think if you got a first-round pick, that's a whole nother level to sell your program on, and it'd just be awesome. And it's great to see that, according to NFL scouts, they think he is the best of the bunch of all the defensive backs that have come through Syracuse.
And that's pretty cool, too, because, again, getting that first-round guy would mean so much to this program and what they've built from a defensive backfield standpoint. Now, is he the most talented of all those defensive backs? It's kind of a wait and see. Remember, he's been number two or lower on the depth chart throughout his career. So when you think about it, who was drawing the best assignment last year? Who was going up against the best receiver? It was always going to be Ife Melifonwu. Let's see what Garrett Williams can do against these wide receiver ones now. Now, listen, he was exceptional when he did get paired up against some wide receiver ones and even in his assignment against some wide receiver twos and some very good wide receiver twos as well. I'm excited to see what he does this year because if he's shutting down top wide receivers on each team, you know, if he's going up against Clemson, Florida State, all that stuff and shutting these guys down, then you're talking about a guy who, yeah, probably does deserve to be a number one or first round draft pick.
Yeah, the book on him analytically is that he's really great in man coverage and he needs to improve in zone coverage. When you look at Pro Football Focus, they said that he has a top 10 coverage grade in man coverage among Power 5 cornerbacks, but in zone, he allowed the third most yards on zone plays among Power 5 outside corners last year. Now, he was a redshirt freshman last year. It's kind of crazy to think about that. Like, that's really good numbers, and that's really amazing that he was a top 10 man guy. Also, he's right up there in terms of passing stops and passes defended among Power 5 cornerbacks last year as a guy that was basically in his first year playing significant time. So the opportunity, as they said in the little blurb there, is going to be there for him to go up against some really good wide receivers in the ACC. And I really think there's no doubt he's a top three rounds type of guy next year. It would just be amazing and it'd be awesome to see him take a leap into the first round after he really wasn't on many people's radars around this time last year in terms of even a diehard Syracuse fan. Like, he's really come out of nowhere and continued to rise. So that would be really awesome.
And you know what quality in this little blurb kind of sticks out to me? And it may not stick out to others, but Williams also contributes as a run defender. He's a really good tackler. And that's something that the NFL is really starting to value more and more on the perimeter, is your ability to contribute in more ways than one and give flexibility in that you can defend both the pass and the run. Because you think about some of these top tier corners in the NFL, one of them, this mock draft would be pairing him up with, and Jalen Ramsey. But I think of other guys like, I mean, they mentioned Jair Alexander here and Kyle Fuller. Those guys can tackle in the open field, and maybe they're not the ones making the tackle, but they are disrupting the play to the degree where their other teammates are there to swarm after, and you're not getting past Garrett Williams. And if you do, you're maybe getting 1 or 2 yards at most. So tackling is obviously key. What was the big knock on Cisco heading into the draft was his tackling ability was one of the things. How can he improve in that department? So I don't know. We'll see what happens with Garrett Williams. I'm excited because it's not often that that first round talent is on this roster, and they might actually have one with a guy like Williams.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool that I think if Ife Melifonwu does good this year for the Lions, which I'm hearing some good things, I'm also hearing great things about Tre Williams. It seems like he's been popping up as a surprise training camp guy for the Dolphins. But if those guys are successful, Cisco as well, that'll probably only enhance Garrett Williams' draft stock. Because you could make a case, okay, zone is the knock on him. Well, he's in a team that just gets picked apart, especially at the end of last year when Trill was down, when Cisco was hurt. Like, that secondary was really young, and there's a reason why he probably allowed a lot of yards in zone, that if he was maybe on a better team that wasn't as hobbled by injuries and everything and wasn't struggling to pressure the quarterback as much and all that, then maybe he wouldn't have had those bad zone numbers. Like, I think the fact that he is great in man shows that when it's his responsibility and solely his responsibility, he's up for the challenge.
No doubt. And the thing about his position too, like Cisco was that fringe first round pick. And obviously he goes first overall in the third round, but he's also a safety, which is a position that from a draft perspective, you don't see a lot of safeties going in the first round anymore. I liken it a little bit to running back, where the number of safeties and running backs that you see going in the first round continues to drop year after year. You used to see running backs go in the top 10. I don't know if we're going to see another guy go in the top 10 from the running back position. I just don't, because of how expendable they've become. Cornerback is a high value position in the NFL, especially in the passing league that this NFL game has moved into. You need shutdown corners. So the value on cornerback is much higher. You're paying a premium. I'm not saying it's quarterback level, but obviously from the defensive standpoint, you look at edge rushers and cornerbacks as some of the guys that you're looking, or guys with positional flexibility as well. So you want to look at those sort of positions as the guys who might see a little bit of a bump. Listen, Garrett Williams may not be one of the 32 best players in this NFL draft, but his value might be in the top 32 because of the position that he plays.
Yeah, to your point, in this mock draft alone, he's cornerback number 5, and there's 5 cornerbacks that are being selected in this first round. So yeah, he's, even if he is cornerback 6, cornerback 7, he's got an opportunity to be a first-round pick, and that is going to get you a lot of money, and that's definitely a position of interest right now in the NFL. All right, well, we'll be back on the show tomorrow, wrapping up the week with our final episode. We're here with you guys every single weekday, keeping you updated on any Syracuse news as it comes out during this offseason that it really hasn't felt like much of an offseason. Recruiting news, Boeheim's Army coming up. There's lots of stuff to talk about each and every week, so subscribe to the pod. If you haven't already, follow the show on Twitter as well, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.